don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. As we talked earlier this morning, these words should sound familiar to us. I'm sure that if you grew up in the 70s or the 80s, you know these words very well. Bruce Banner, played by Bill Bixby in the original TV series, was a shy, socially awkward scientist whose accidental exposure to gamma rays leads to this unfortunate change in his body. When he was stressed out, Banner's alter ego comes out in the form of this Hulk, this huge, green-skinned, muscular beast of a man that seems to possess this unlimited supply of physical strength and aggression. And even though the Hulk was mostly uncontrollable, Banner does his best to do what is right and battle the evil that is around him. Originally based on a comic book series from as early as 1962, the Incredible Hulk still plays a role in comics and cartoons and some movies today. In our gospel today, Jesus Christ seems to be a little bit like Bruce Banner. Normally mild-mannered and loving, Jesus' wrath comes into full display in this temple courtyard scene. Listen to our text. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Today, we see a different side of Jesus. We don't see that babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger. He's not a young boy in the temple asking deep theological questions. He's not turning water into wine, healing the blind, caring for the lepers, or raising anyone from the dead. We don't see him teaching his disciples through thought-provoking parables. No, today we see a Jesus who is all business, making a whip out of cords and turning over the tables and driving out the money changers. This is not the Jesus that most of the world profess. We prefer the one that goes after that one lost sheep and loves everyone and condemns no one to hell. We are used to this gentle, soft-spoken Jesus who calmly confronts sinners and outsmarts his enemies. But this is not who we get in our gospel reading this morning. Instead, we see a Jesus who goes into full Hulk mode while holding nothing back. You might be wondering, did Jesus lose his cool? Is this really our loving Savior who willingly took our sins to the cross? What happened to the command to love your neighbor as yourself? What about the Jesus who welcomes sinners and eats with them? Aren't we supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us? Well, all of that is true. However, it's important to note that this is not a different side or a different Jesus, really. Nor is he really acting out of character. This is our patient, merciful Jesus acting out of love and compassion for his people. Was Jesus upset? Sure. Was he angry? Probably. The difficulty here is that these actions do not mesh well with our narrow view of Jesus as a teacher, healer, comforter, and friend. This is our disruptive Jesus, a Jesus who loves his enemies enough to disrupt them from their sinful lives. He knows that their sins are not good for them, and the wages of sin is death. And the same goes for us. Jesus comes in and disrupts the sinful things in our lives because he loves us enough to hold us accountable for our sins. This disruptive Jesus ultimately wants to do the same thing for us as he did for the money changers in the temple. They thought Jesus was losing his cool, when in fact, Jesus was staying cool enough to seek to save them from the fires of eternal damnation. The same goes for most pastors when they deal with their congregation members' sins. The pastor's job is to hold you responsible for your sins, and they do it out of love for you. They know that when you sin, it's not good for you and that you are well within the devil's grasp. The easiest thing for a pastor to do is to say nothing and let all sinners go to hell. But that's not what Jesus modeled here for them. Instead, Jesus says something. And he also does something about our sin. He does this out of love because he wants each one of us to be with him in heaven. What did Jesus do? Our text from John 2 tells us that Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "Then it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But Jesus wasn't speaking about a physical building made with stones, as verse 21 makes abundantly clear. He's referring to the temple of his body. Jesus goes to the cross and is raised in 3 days for our salvation. He comes in and disrupts all that would prevent you and me from coming into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. And if the tables need to be overturned, he's not afraid to do it. Overturning tables and disrupting lives is how our loving and gracious Father really works. Jesus disrupts our everyday life and calls us out in our sin. He commands us to stop listening to the lies of the devil and start doing things his way. And this has been the plan from the very start. Jesus knew that we would need a Savior, that we would be born in sin, enemies with God, brought in by the fall in the garden. So in the waters of holy baptism, Jesus comes to interrupt and disrupt the plans of the devil, and he claims us as his own. Then after he has washed us, he invites us to feed on his very body and blood to sustain and nurture us in the one true faith. But before you get too excited about imagining Jesus as the Hulk and overturning the tables, maybe you need to check your own table. Sure, your sins and my sins are probably different than those in the narrative for today. But we too have been unfaithful to God in a different way. Many times you and I confess one truth, but live another. We say story to God in one breath, all the while holding tight to our favorite sins. In many ways, we try to set our own boundaries and requirements with our relationship with God, trying to be just good enough not to make God angry, instead of letting God's love, forgiveness, and his mercy have complete control in our lives. Our good enough is not good enough. We are just dirty sinners. And Jesus is here today to do a little Lenten house cleaning by overturning the tables of our sinful nature. And Jesus knows that there are sinful tables in our lives that need overturning. There are the things in our sinful hearts and in our minds that must be driven out. There are things in our world that interfere with us worshiping faithfully in our Father's house. There are sinful things in our lives that Jesus needs to take a whip to. He does this so that he can forgive them by his death on the cross. And when Jesus disrupts our lives, he is doing it out of divine love and mercy, without any regard or merit or worthiness in us. The Apostle Paul writes that he does this so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Jesus disrupts our sinful lives so that we can have eternal life in our Father's house. I'm sure no one in this room has ever thought of Jesus as being the Incredible Hulk. After all, Jesus is this innocent baby born in a manger who grew up sinless to be this lamb-like sacrifice for our sins. We tend not to remember the times in the Bible when he punished the disobedient, like in Korah's rebellion in Numbers 16, when almost 15,000 Israelites died. Or when the Israelites worshiped the god Baal in Numbers 25, and God kills 24,000 of them. This Old Testament God is not a God different than our God today. Jude tells us in verses 11 through 15 that the ungodly will suffer the same fate, that God will come to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That sounds more like the Hulk than the meek David Banner. And yet we have hope. We hold on to the hope, which the psalmist writes. Restore us again, O God, of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.